When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
We got on a little heater for a bit, but the end of the night just didn't quite pan out for me as well as one would have hoped.
How late did the night go?
Not late. 11 p.m. Okay. All of downtown Detroit turned into a block party after the draft had concluded. So it was quite difficult to navigate getting out of there. You were staying downtown right at the casino. Had I been doing that, I probably would have hung in there quite a bit longer and might have just gone straight to my flight.
When did you fly home? Sunday?
Sunday morning at 10.
So the draft show was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You did 3 days of shows?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, yes.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Saturday from noon until 7 p.m.
Okay.
And then a healthy dinner. I'm not so healthy, but, you know, healthy in terms of size.
Yeah, no one thought it would.
Okay.
Let's just be honest.
I shouldn't have had to clarify.
Right. And you were like, healthy dinner. Well, you know, not, it's, don't worry. No one actually thought it was.
Yeah. Didn't need to clarify.
Carlin in Detroit. Time to go vegan. That's the mantra.
I'll tell you, the one disappointment, did not get to try the Detroit style pizza.
Same here.
Kind of bummed me out.
Got recommended a place called Buddy's. They said Buddy's was the best, but it was from the hotel I was at to where it was located. It was on the other side of the draft compound. I'm like, that's going to be a nightmare. So I never made it out. I actually never left the hotel. There was a bridge that connected the hotel to the casino where I was working. Yeah. I never went outside. I went inside Thursday evening, or what was it? Wednesday evening when I arrived, and I didn't go outside again until Friday evening when I left.
So you didn't see the sun for 2 days.
I saw it from inside. I did not feel it. I did not feel it from the outside. I didn't. I saw none of it. I'm going to throw this out there because we haven't done this yet, and I'm sure you agree. Mm. Detroit was awesome in how they put on this event.
Oh, totally.
Absolutely agree. Awesome. Everyone I had a chance to talk to, because I was in a sports book, and naturally that's where I get recognized. It's the only place I get recognized, but I get recognized in the sports books. It was great talking to everybody that was out there. The fans were so excited. These Lion fans who have been kicked around for so long were so stoked that their city got to host this event, that they get to they got to show out, that their team's legit. The hospitality was first class. Bravo, City of Detroit. I thought you did a hell of a job.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I have to tell you, Ian and I were in an Uber on the way back to the hotel Saturday night. And the Uber driver and a lot of people that we talked to echoing very similar sentiments about how proud they were. And let's be honest, Detroit has gotten a bad rap for a long time. I'm here to tell you, that is a city on the come. That is, they have done a great job to get that thing turned around, and it is going in the right direction, and they did an amazing job hosting the draft.
Had no idea how close I was to Canada. I looked out the hotel room window, and there it was.
You didn't know Windsor was right across?
I knew it was close. People had always said the year the Super Bowl was there, they said they would fly into Detroit, and like you go over to Windsor to gamble, get your Cuban cigars, all that stuff. I assumed it was maybe like a 40-minute drive. I didn't think it was right there.
Yeah.
Like I saw this river right next to the hotel, and the other side of the river was Canada. America's hat.
There you go. America's hat. Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 80. The Knicks and the Sixers is not turning out to be the series that one would have hoped. And it's disappointing because I really thought that the Sixers were going to present a much bigger problem. But the difference for the Knicks is all about their effort, about how hard they play, and their willingness to do everything possible to win the game. Joel Embiid is not on a healthy wheel right now. That's a problem. It's showing itself mostly in the fourth quarter of these games. I'm not going to blame him completely for what's going on. I would say that the fourth quarter execution, particularly the last 7 minutes of the game, there was no execution whatsoever by the Sixers. And that just allowed the Knicks in their style of play to completely dominate it. And that's why they're up 3-1 right now.
Yeah, Embiid takes a lot of heat because he's the face, he's the star, and he went missing in action in the second half. I'm not going to put the blame on him. All right, he came back fast from surgery. He's not 100%. He's doing everything he can to try to will this team over the top. At some point, anybody else is allowed to step up and make a play. Yeah. It's not like it's Joel Embiid and a bunch of volunteers out there. It's Joel Embiid and a bunch of professionals. Tyrese Maxey's been very good. I'm not talking about Tyrese Maxey. I'm talking, let's start with the bench. Batum, Reed, Payne, Melton. You know what they did yesterday? A combined 2 of 13 for 6 points. Get lost.
Oh,
that's
God.
Pathetic. 2 of 13 for 6 points. Knicks bench wasn't great, but like they could turn it over to McBride. He's 4 of 7 for 13 points. Deuce McBride steps into that game and does more than the entire Sixers bench, who was 2 of 13 for 6 points. That's pathetic. So, I mean, you got to get a lot from your starters then, right? Well, let's look at the Philly starters. Embiid, Maxey, they're legit. But outside of that, Kyle Lowry, he was 1 for 6. He had a nice gimmicky play late where he drew that foul. Very clever, very savvy veteran play. Everyone always talks about how smart it is. And then the intentional missed free throw that Maxey wasn't paying attention to. Look at Kyle Lowry, so heads up. How about that? This. Instead of being so heads up, don't be 1 for 6. Knock down a few shots. Like, that would be helpful. Kelly Oubre, decent game, but he's 7 for 15, and apparently he thinks, you know, it's his Kobe game because he's putting shots up all over the place. And then I don't need to say anything about Tobias Harris. Enough's already been said. 48 minutes from the end of his time in Philly. I speak for all of Philadelphia when I say we couldn't be more thrilled that it's only 48 minutes until the end of that guy's time with the franchise.
Should they have a car waiting for him to go to the airport?
No. Their financial obligations are done. They don't need a special car. They don't need to spend another cent on him in Philly. You came, you got paid, congratulations, get out. Good luck in your future endeavors.
Do you think this series is over?
Yes. It's mm-hmm. not, it's completely over. They don't have the heart. I'm not gonna sit here and do X's and O's. I don't know it. We could call Jay Williams and we could talk to him about that. He's fantastic with it. I don't know the coaching. I'm not gonna sit here and go through all that. What I see is a Knicks team that has heart. You're telling me this busted Philadelphia team that couldn't close a coffee cup, let alone a big-time playoff game, is going to find a way to win 3 of the next, what, 3 matchups? That's what they got to do, right?
They
got to go
3 for 3.
That's not happening. What in their history has made you think they can close? They don't close anybody.
No, I don't expect them to win this series. I don't expect them. I think that they can get one more, but I don't expect it. I can't sit here and tell you, I'm a big evidence guy, as you know, if you've been able to do it before, and they haven't. They haven't been able to do it before. And the Knicks have a closer's mentality to them, don't they? I think so. I think the Knicks have very much a closer's mentality. I think they will be in the position tomorrow night of, let us finish this out, let us get this over with, and let us not leave any doubt in the fourth quarter to this situation. I honestly I'm blown away by what has happened here with the Sixers in this series. And then, you know,
Why is it so stunning? This is what they do every year.
I am more stunned that every single aspect of this, they have been outplayed by the Knicks. They have been outplayed by them every single aspect. It's the way in which it has happened. It is the fact that they let game 2 happen the way it did. Like, if Kyle Lowry was brought here to be the smart, savvy veteran, well, he was a big part of the problem in game 2 at the end with that whole nightmare. And then now you're not even knocking down shots. What are you even doing here? What is it? It's the scene from Office Space. What is it exactly that you do here?
Yeah.
Honestly. The whole thing is just... I am so disappointed in the Sixers. And I'll tell you what I'm getting. I'm getting the sense that the city, I know that the city has ticked off at Joel for the comments. And in case you didn't hear the comments, here they are.
Disappointing. You know, I love our fans. I think he's unfortunate. And I'm not calling them out, but it is disappointing. Obviously, you got a lot of Knicks fans and they're down the road and never seen it. And I've been here for 10 years. Kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. So, you know, they've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen. It's not okay.
What's he want? How do you prevent that? Knicks fans wanted to buy tickets and go to the game.
Yeah.
How do you prevent that?
You're going to blame the people who put their tickets up on StubHub? I have trouble blaming the fans today. I mean, if I were a Sixers fan, I'd be annoyed about that, especially if I had spent the money to be in the building.
It's a terrible look.
But there's not much I can do about it.
It's a terrible look. It's an embarrassing look. That's the type of thing that happens in Charlotte. That happens in other venues. Philadelphia, based on all the hype they get during the MLB playoffs. Remember, Citizens Bank is known as the toughest place to go play in the postseason. It's nothing but clips and highlights of how great the bank is during the postseason, which is true. So to have that quick of a turnaround where Wells Fargo is overtaken by Knicks fans, I mean, credit Knicks fans. I thought that was an impressive display.
Do you believe that the Knicks are the only team that can really challenge the Celtics?
Yeah. I don't. Who else is there?
Yeah.
There's just no one else. It's process of elimination. It's not so much like, yeah, this Knicks team is incredible. It's just there's no one else out there. That's why this is going to be an abomination if the Celtics can't find a way to win the championship this year. You can't have an easier path. What more do you want if you're Boston?
I'll tell you, tonight's going to tell me an awful lot about the Celtics. You better just go and take care of it.
You lay in the 10.5? See, now here we go. Now we're all pressed up against it.
No, listen, I'm not saying I'm saying that they had better go and just take care of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I
cover the 10.5 tonight. Cover the 10.5 or get lost.
I don't know if I trust them yet. That's all.
That was an ultimate bounce back spot in game 3. Like you could smell that one coming from a mile
absolutely.
Away.
Absolutely. that's an absolute winner. But tonight, I mean, are you laying the 10.5?
I'm considering, I like the over 203.5. That's what I like. I think the Celtics have a little bit of positive shooting regression in this game. I think it goes over. This is the lowest total we've seen the whole series.
I saw an amazing t-shirt over the weekend that I would have bought for you if I knew where to get it. It says, you know, you see these t-shirts that say, you know.
Oh, so far, there's a lot of words on a t-shirt.
New York versus everybody. This is not on the t-shirt. You see those kind of shirts.
Yeah.
New York versus everybody. Detroit versus everybody.
Yeah.
Iowa versus the over. What if I, oh God, do I have to read this? I guess I do. What if I told you one NFL team has a planet quarterback tucked away in their back pocket? That's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
All right. Denver and the Lakers tonight. Game 5 back in Denver. This is a very specific wager. We're going to bet on the Nuggets in the third quarter. The spread's -1.5. Now, some people would say, how are you betting the third quarter without knowing what happened in the first half? Either way, whether it's a tight game, whether the Nuggets are down, whether the Nuggets are up, I expect them to come out firing, looking to close this game out. All right, let's go through this series. In the third quarter, the Nuggets have won by 14 points, by 5 points, by 12 points, and by 2 points. They have owned the third quarter in this series. They are +33 overall. They average a +8.25 point differential against the Lakers in the third quarter. I know Jamal Murray's a bit banged up with that calf strain, but I like this bet. Nuggets in the third quarter, -1.5.
First and 10. Woodson showing blitz. Woodson comes. Here he is bearing down on Brady. Whoa, calls the football. Beacon dives on the ball. The Raiders have the ball. The Raiders take over as Charles Woodson came on a corner blitz and he rocked his former Michigan teammate.
But we know how that one ended. That was Greg Papa from 23 years ago on the Raiders Radio Network, the Tuck Rule. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We know what happened from there. Of course, it was overturned, and the Patriots went on to win their first Super Bowl, and the Raiders are still looking for a quarterback, in fact.
Yeah, they're still trying to figure it out.
Yep.
Give them some time.
Joe, listen, Joe's a big process guy. Raiders are still in the process.
They're working.
And I don't mean process like the Sixers thing. It's focus on day-to-day process, getting 1% better each day.
There you go.
And by that, the Raiders have gotten 931,000% worse since then. Because they have really gone the other way. Anyway, listen. There was just mystery as to what exactly they were doing this weekend. Because they didn't draft a quarterback. We had 6 quarterbacks go in the top 12. Maybe Penix was their guy after it was clear they were not going to be able to get up and get anywhere near Jaden Daniels. Joe, did they actually do it with a plan in mind behind them? Is that possible?
I mean, Adam Schefter talked about this on Pat McAfee earlier today. And he had talked about this over the course of the weekend, I believe, that they were very interested in Michael Penix. That the mindset was if Penix was there when the Raiders were drafting at 13, they were going to be drafting Michael Penix. And then you see what ended up happening. All 6 quarterbacks went in the top 12. And then there's the Raiders. And you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, all right, there's no quarterback left to be had here. So what's the plan? Clearly, you guys have worked through scenarios. You have an idea that this could have happened. That's obviously a scenario you should have worked out. So maybe you trade back, pick up some more picks. Maybe you have another player in mind that could help along the offensive line. I mean, God forbid, couldn't run the ball at all last year. Couldn't protect last year. Got to get some offensive line help, right? Could always use some help on the defensive side, right? And they go out and draft tight end in Brock Bowers. Mm. Who is, by the way, great player.
Oh, nothing about him.
But again.
No, speaking about anything ill about him at all here.
This is just the classic good player, bad pick. Because last year, the Raiders used a relatively high pick on Michael Mayer, the tight end out of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But if you remember, that was a previous regime and a previous coaching staff. So the guys that are in control now might not necessarily like Mayer. So they're going to go out and they're going to get Brock Bowers. And you're going to sit there and say, well, he's not going to help you in protection. He's not going to help you on defense. You got a million things you got to worry about. And now you're bringing in another tight end. What are you trying to be, the deepest tight end team in the league? It just felt like oh no, all the quarterbacks are gone. What are we going to do? This Bowers kid is really good. Let's draft a good player. Okay, great. Who's throwing him the ball? And who's protecting for the guy throwing the ball? Felt like the Raiders' big swing and miss there.
Felt like there's a lot of questions still to be answered. And it's because last year's draft was a disaster with that, and this year's draft is a disaster with this. So, but are the Raiders just outfoxing us all? Is that possible? Well, let's try to connect some dots, shall we? Here's Tom Brady. Remember Tom Brady?
Oh, come on.
not all that long ago on the Deep Cut with Vic Blends podcast, where all news is meant to be broke.
One day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs. Offense is great.
Patriots, somebody, Raiders, look, could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down, would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're gonna let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know, I'm always gonna be in good shape, always be able to throw the ball, so. To come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Well, I mean, the Raiders are this version, or this, you know, this day's Washington Wizards. So, you know, why not?
I this feels like it's just one of those.
Do you feel dirty? Because you're about to feel dirtier. Remember Dana White with the Gronks?
Yeah.
Let me refresh your memory from 2022 UFC 278.
I'm the one, I worked to put that deal together for Brady and Gronk to come to the Raiders. And it was almost a done deal. And at the last minute, Gruden blew the deal up and said that he didn't want him. And hell broke loose, man. It was crazy. And Brady was already looking at houses, and it wasn't being said yet that Gronk was coming. So Las Vegas would have had Brady and Gronk the year that the Bucs won the Super Bowl, except Gruden blew the deal up. And there's so much story that goes along with this behind the scenes. And I was never going to tell that story till Gronk just said it.
Gronk confirmed it. So what do we think? Are the Raiders going to bring back Brady?
Why would Brady want to play for them? If you're going
to
come
out of he owns part of them, or he's about to.
I understand that part. I understand owning part of an NFL team. When it comes to playing for that team, he has always been a guy who has made extraordinary decisions with his football career. He's been fantastic with it. Why would he want to play for them? That's the thing that stands out to me. Like, if you're going to come back and put your body through that, you're going to join a team that has been an abject failure over the last two decades. They don't have a great offensive line. They are in a division with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, of all your options, should you want to come back, why would it be these guys?
I can't disagree. I can't disagree. Of course he's not coming back to play for the Raiders. The Raiders would have to be in late November, let's say 11-2 or whatever. I don't want to do the math on how many games are left and all that right then. But they would have to be in an amazing situation and lose their quarterback. And right now, they don't have a quarterback, and they're not going to be in an amazing situation. So there's none of this. And this has actually been suggested a little bit the last few days. I can't get over that they don't have any plan, but I have to tell you, and the first guy to suggest this was Mike Tannenbaum with us at the draft the other day, and I do not hate it. I would pick up the phone, I would call the Falcons, and I would say, let's talk about Kirk Cousins, who may not want to be there anymore. I mean, if you're Kirk Cousins and you knew this was the situation, would you have signed in Atlanta?
No, probably not.
Yeah. You probably would have stayed in Minnesota, but Minnesota's already made their whole decision on what they're going to do.
So then what do you end up doing here? The Raiders have to trade assets to, I mean, Atlanta's not going to get a whole lot in return, I would think.
Well, you paid them a ton, so I don't know that Atlanta would get a ton in return. Would you trade a first round pick if you were the Raiders to go get Cousins?
Well, what happens with the contract? Like, is it all dead money? How does that work?
I don't know exactly how it all works, but you have to believe that there are things that you can do to rework the contract, because there always seems to be. There always seems to be.
Yeah, I mean, am I giving up a first? Probably not. No. I don't think Cousins isn't going to solve my problems with the Raiders. Raiders are a ways off. Raiders are a ways off, man. Like, the Bowers pick, again, good player, but they got issues everywhere. Cousins isn't going to come in and solve that. Cousins is a guy that needs to come into a situation that's pretty well loaded, and he might be able to get you a little bit further than you expect. But Cousins is a guy that needs help. We've seen that throughout his career. He's not going to will you to a win like Mahomes does. Very few people can do that, but he's most definitely not one of those guys.
But there is absolutely nobody there to play quarterback for the Raiders right now.
Well, how's that any different from anything else post-Rich Gannon?
That's a good point. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Who had the best draft? Who had the worst? And what were the Falcons doing? We've got the answers to all of that after I tell you about this from our friends at Indeed, who I would want to remind you have requested that it is me and me only to read this commercial. I haven't reminded you in a while. I just wanted to bring this back. Indeed, Carlin only. Thank you. It's the perfect time to gear up and connect to quality candidates. There's no better way to do that than through Indeed, the hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Their interview tool helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Next to hassle, start hiring. Indeed.com/credit.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The NFL draft concluded this weekend, and we get the full breakdown of who did what well and who did not. Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst, joins us right now. Matt, Chris, and Joe, we appreciate a few minutes. Let's just start right here. Who won the draft? Who lost?
Oh, man, who won the draft is a harder question. I loved what the Pittsburgh Steelers did. I thought the Philadelphia Eagles had a good draft. Like, that's every year. I think we're saying that about those two teams, but I truly thought they did a great job. The Arizona Cardinals and Washington Commanders had good drafts where they didn't really overthink it. They just got really, really good football players. So those two would definitely be up there maybe as your surprise winners. Now, who lost the draft? Time will tell, right? I did not like what the Atlanta Falcons did at all. I just didn't understand a lot of their moves. And not just like Michael Penix Jr., I feel like it was a reach at 8 and not a need as well. I thought Ruka Roro in the second round was a pretty big reach. I thought they recovered well, but first two rounds, pretty head-scratching what they did. Same with the Titans. I thought the Titans reached for guys who – you know, both have had moments of time, J.C. Latham and Savadre Sweat, where you worry about the football character a little bit. And with Sweat, you know, you got a guy who had a DWI about a month ago. So two players that I would worry about there.
Take us through the Michael Penix pick. You see that happen at 8. They just signed Kirk Cousins to that 4-year, $180 million deal. Penix flies off the board to the Falcons. We're not going to set you up with our thoughts on this. We don't want to poison the well, as they say in the legal industry. What do you think of that pick?
Absolutely hated it. And that has nothing to do with Michael Penix Jr. So I don't want folks playing this back to me in like 4 years when he's a good player. I think he'll be a good player. And I like Michael Penix Jr. However, like, let's just, like, your best case scenario is you sign Kirk Cousins, you give him $100 million guaranteed. Let's even say for 2 years, you're going to give him $50 million guaranteed, which is more than Patrick Mahomes makes. It's more than anyone makes, basically. And say, okay, for 2 years, you're our guy. At that time, in 2 years, Michael Penix Jr. will be 26 years old and halfway through his four-year, very inexpensive rookie contract, which is the whole damn reason you draft rookie quarterbacks in the first place, so you can play them when they're cheap and build around them. The Falcons can't do that because they have a $50 million a year quarterback in Kirk Cousins, who's 36, coming off a torn Achilles, and has never played like an MVP. This guy has finessed more money from NFL teams than anyone in the history of the profession. So I don't like what they did. You either messed up by paying Kirk Cousins that much money, or you messed up by drafting his successor 2 years too early, quite frankly. And I know, like, you want to be too early on quarterbacks, not too late, not after you just give a guy $100 million guaranteed. So you talk about overthinking it. We all make fun of the movie Draft Day. If they had put this in the movie Draft Day, we would have said it was unbelievable, because it seems like make-believe that a team would put this many assets towards the quarterback position.
Yeah, I thought Sonny Weaver was out there until this. Holy cow. It is Carlin versus...
I would have drafted a running back and a linebacker in the first round like Sonny did. Makes more sense than this.
It is Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Matt Miller, ESPN NFL Draft Analyst with us. Matt, what are the Raiders doing exactly? And it's not a knock on Brock Bowers. He's obviously a terrific player. They don't have anybody to throw him the ball. They took a center in Jackson Powers Johnson, but I'm still trying to figure out the rest of what they have cooking here.
Yeah, I think with the Raiders is one of those situations where you can't draft what's not there. And we all wanted them to draft a quarterback. There wasn't one there. So instead of them, you know, what were you going to do? Reach for Spencer Rattler? Dude didn't go to the fifth round, right? So they just really got stuck in a position where they tried to trade up and get a quarterback. They just couldn't do it. And so I don't fault the Raiders for that. You can't draft what's not there. And now I do think, you know, Brock Bowers, was he in need? Absolutely not. But at some point, you just draft the best football player available. And I think we would have crushed them if they had reached for a position of need. You know, if they had reached for a quarterback, if they had, you know, and they could have gone corner there and I would have been happy about it. I think they could have gone wide receiver and I probably would have been happy about it, although that would have even been a slight reach. If you think about Brock Bowers as a slot offensive weapon and not as a tight end, then you love the pick, because he and Michael Mayer are going to be really nice counterparts to each other. Mayer's going to play inline, Bowers going to play in the slot. And I think what you're doing is you're building that infrastructure for a quarterback next year. And Carson Beck from Georgia might be that guy. So he and Bowers might be reunited, or Quinn Ewers from Texas, or Shedeur Sanders at Colorado, or, you know, a player to be named later when someone has a Jaden Daniels-like season and rises up the board. But I think what the Raiders have done is realized, hey, we couldn't get a quarterback here. Let's set the table for the one that we will eventually get.
Matt, you mentioned Spencer Rattler falling to the fifth round in the New Orleans Saints. Ever since Brock Purdy popped as Mr. Irrelevant for the Niners, everyone's always going to look to these late-round quarterbacks to see if there are any surprises. I'm not saying there is a Brock Purdy in this draft, but of all the late-round quarterbacks that went, are there any that could possibly jump off the page and maybe do a little bit better than their draft position?
I don't think so, just because of where they went. Like, I love Michael Pratt, who from Tulane went to the Packers at pick 245. Unless Jordan Love, you know, completely regresses or gets hurt, he's not going to have the opportunity. Spencer Rattler goes to New Orleans Saints. They have Derek Carr, who they're paying a lot of money this year. So barring injury, which I know that's how Purdy got in with the Niners as well, right? So those two guys, yeah, love what they're doing. I think they both went to fun spots. Jordan Travis going to the Jets in the fifth round, probably my favorite day three quarterback. But, you know, we didn't have a lot. We had 10 or 11 quarterbacks drafted this year. So there's not a lot of those guys who even have those opportunities. This was a bad quarterback class after the top six. We knew that, which is why teams did rush to get a quarterback in the top 12, and then we didn't see any drafted for 137 picks after that.
Matt, great stuff. We appreciate it. Is there any rest in your future, or are you already working on 2025?
Oh, I'm already working on 2025, guys. I got a list in front of me of about 160 players to start with that I would consider tier one, tier two guys for me to watch. From that list, there will be a couple hundred more added because, like, you know, you're watching Georgia tape to watch the quarterback and you're going to be like, oh, wait, hey, I like that guy too. So it is the summer's fun because it's just you watch a ton of college tape. to get ready for the season. By the time I get a good list built, the season will basically start. So don't pour any out for me and Mel Kiper and Phil Jason and Jordan Reed. We're going to have a great summer watching football, and then we'll be back talking to you guys again before you know it.
Matt, we're not interested in 2025. Everyone's doing that. I want 2026.
I mean, Arch Manning.
There you go.
I mean, listen.
Arch Manning, number one overall to the Carolina Panthers.
Matt, if you want to mail it in, that's your business, pal.
Giants.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, guys.
Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. One first-round pick from the weekend is already learning to hate his biggest rival. It's next. We're on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
It's all going Travis Kelce's way right now. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. A little bit of breaking news.
Carlin versus Joe, breaking news.
The Chiefs and Travis Kelce have agreed to a 2-year contract extension. That, according to a source confirming it to ESPN, first reported by the NFL Network. Kelce, who has been taken to consecutive Pro Bowls, 4-time All-Pro. 93 catches last year and 5 touchdowns. I mean, he's, according to some of the reports, he's going to be the highest paid tight end in the league, which is not surprising. He's the best, but it is amazing at this juncture of his career, he's still signing an extension.
Just keep in mind, Cowboys fans, when you hear that, like, there's not a lot of room to maneuver for your 3 stars who need contract extensions, the Chiefs have almost no room to maneuver, and yet they continue to maneuver. It's weird how things like that can get done. Good players get contract extensions, even when the salary cap looks tight, because people understand the, wait for it, machinations of how business works in the NFL. Machinations.
So you've come around.
Once everyone told me I was wrong, I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna ride out the machinations wave.
Well,
yeah.
Chiefs getting it done with a contract extension is brought to you by Granger. good for them. And, you know, I was really surprised that there were a lot of people, and I mean a lot, that were so angry, from Buffalo Bills fans to a few others, that the Bills traded with the Chiefs at the end of the first round that allowed the Chiefs to move up 3 spots to draft Xavier Worthy. And I don't know if that's Patrick Mahomes PTSD. I don't know if it's because this is a team that you are consistently fighting with and trying to get past. I don't know what it was. I have to tell you, I did not hate the deal from a Buffalo standpoint, but a lot of people thought on principle they should not be making that trade.
Hell yeah, I'm one of them. Why are you picking up the phone? Why are you picking up the phone? If the Chiefs are calling you during the draft, it's because there's something they want. They're not catching up with you. They're not asking you how things are going. They're not taking an interest. They're not calling to see if they can do you a favor. There's something you have that they want, and they're calling you about it. Why are you going to oblige them? Why?
Well, it's going to give me a chance to get some other picks and move up, which is exactly what happened. So to be clear, the Chiefs had the 32nd pick. So they moved up to 28 to make a draft pick. And the Bills slid back. They also, Chiefs gave their 3rd round pick and a 7th round pick for the Bills' 4th round pick and a 7th round pick. The basically the Bills were able to move up 40 spots from the fourth round all the way to 95th in the third round. I mean, that's a significant move.
Ooh, yeah, look at that. That's a Super Bowl right there.
Well, here's the point. If the Bills had three or four receivers already marked at basically the same grade right there, and I have a chance to get a better player later on, then why am I not doing that?
Because I'm not helping them out. They're already good enough. They're good enough. You helped them out last year with the missed field goal. You helped them out by not stopping anybody in that AFC divisional round game late in the fourth and then in overtime. You have already helped the Chiefs out plenty. When they call because they want something, just don't pick up. I don't care if you got a seventh round pick swap. I don't care if you moved up 40 spots in a draft that I'm not watching on TV anymore because it's day three. I don't care about that. Don't help them out. They're calling because there's a guy they want. That guy is Xavier Worthy. And I bet at some point next year or in the next 3 years, he's going to face the Bills. He's going to put up 180 yards and two scores. And everyone's going to go, damn, that Kansas City team, they really know how to find weapons. They really know how to build a team. Well, a lot of that is because other teams out there are just so willing to help them out. And the Bills have helped them out more than anybody over the years, outside of the crap that's in that division that can't figure out how to compete with them.
Well, but here's the problem. Why would the Bills be looking at it from that standpoint? Because all that does is project an insecurity.
You like, should be insecure. Should you not be insecure after getting taken behind the woodshed from that team every year for the last half decade?
Listen, I'm the one that's sitting here saying that the Bills are not going to catch them, right? But it has nothing to do with this. Gives me a chance to get better in another spot later on where it might be more significant for me. If I have players, we have the same need, and I'm going to have a bunch to choose from where I have them graded pretty much the same. When do I trust what I'm doing as opposed to worrying about what somebody else is doing?
Do both. Make a good pick without trading or helping Kansas City at all. You can do both there. You can
get a significantly better player later on because of this trade.
What round is the pick they picked up?
Went from third, 95th, and they moved from 133rd overall to 95th.
Okay.
And that's 40 picks.
95th is what? The start of the sixth, the start of the third round or fourth round?
Toward the end of the third round.
End of the third round, yeah. A lot of Hall of Famers down there. Yep.
Listen, all I'm telling you is, like,
who was the pick? Does anyone have the pick? Anyone know who it is?
Dwayne Carter, defensive tackle, Duke.
Okay. Dwayne Carter,
defensive tackle. So we'll keep an eye on Dwayne Carter's career, and you and I will settle this argument in about 12 years.
Guess what, Dwayne Carter? The heat's already on. Okay? Heat's already on. We're tracking
it. We've got our promo for tomorrow.
The
player with the most pressure. It's a third-round pick from Penn State.
I wish him the best. Evan, what were you saying?
The last time the Bills helped the Chiefs in the first round of the draft, it was when Kansas City went from like 27 to 10 and got Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, no one's ever heard of him.
You gave him Patrick Mahomes too, and now you're giving him Xavier Worthy.
Right, because Xavier Worthy is going to be the next, you know, wide receiver version of Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, he could be
better
good.
Better chance in Kansas City than Buffalo.
Yeah, he's got a better, exactly.
Well, it's the point. Like, no matter who I gave them at receiver, Mahomes is making them better anyway.
Like, go back to that year Philadelphia drafted Devontae Smith. Philadelphia, this was a classic NFC East scenario where the Eagles were sitting right behind the Giants and the Cowboys. I think it was Cowboys, Giants, Eagles. And the Eagles knew the Giants wanted a wide receiver, so the Eagles got on the phone with Dallas and made a trade where the Eagles moved up in front of the Giants to get Devontae Smith. And then the Giants panicked. And David Gettleman had never traded back in his entire career as a general manager. Never once. And that was the year he realized, damn, they got our guy. So he traded back like 10 spots. He drafts Kadarius Toney in a panic move because they still need a wide receiver, but their guy wasn't available. Toney turns out to be a complete bust. And then Gettleman ends up getting fired at some point. Now, that's not the reason why, but Gettleman made a series of bad decisions. That was one of them. You don't do anybody any favors in this business.
Are we putting Dave Gettleman in the same category as Brandon Bean? That's rough.
What has Bean won? What's he done? He took over for Joe Shane, right?
No. Joe Shane was his assistant.
Joe Shane was the assistant for Brandon Bean.
Shane went to the Giants.
So he built him up. And now we're starting to move our way backwards, right? Maybe instead of being so friendly with Kansas City, which he's been for years, he should stop being so friendly with Kansas City. Maybe that's just a thought. Maybe stop picking up the phone when the Chiefs call. They got you for Mahomes. They're going to get you for Xavier Worthy. They get you every year in the playoffs. Maybe do something different.
See, I'm surprised by this take from you. Because the Joe Fortenbaugh philosophy, unless I've read it wrong, about life in general is, don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Worry about what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm worried about getting my ass kicked by them every year. Every year I get my ass kicked by them. I'm tired of it. I want to kick their ass.
Oh, so what you're telling me is if Stanford Steve asks you to trade schedules, screw you. Well, he hasn't beaten you, though. That's a different
thing with Steve is Steve's got a hell of a schedule there. The big man's schedule is quite nice.
Yeah, that's true.
So I might like to finagle something there.
Just so you know, I'd still take that over him.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin versus Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin versus Joe podcast.